Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for October the 3rd. I'm your host, Paul White. Glad you're with me today as we journey through 1 Peter chapter 3. We're in the heart of that 15th verse, that kind of famous moment, really. I think it's one of those verses people quote that they know is in Peter somewhere, but maybe don't know exactly where, and maybe don't know the context real well. It's that moment where Peter encourages his audience to always be ready to give an answer. And this does not mean that you should always have an answer for every question. I kind of treated ministry that way for a long time. That's a very difficult position to have. There's sort of a Messiah complex in that. Like, you can fix people. And I don't think that the idea among the early church was that you should always be ready to be able to fix people. In fact, I don't believe that at all. Peter's not telling you to always have an answer to everybody's questions or always be prepared for whatever might come your way. None of us can do that. I've learned that in question and answer sessions across the country. I try to do Q&A every chance I get anymore, even if it's really unorganized. I just maybe step out from behind the sort of preacher podium and say, hey, who's got a question? And just risk it, you know, run from there. What I've found is that I don't have an answer to some of these questions. Sometimes the questions are deep and they're sort of have tributaries that run 15 different directions. And I had someone message me a question the other day or email, and they said, what do you think of? And they asked what this thing, and then it said, the short answer will do. And I know what they meant was, because I think they said, is this thing biblical? The short answer will do. And what they wanted me to say was yes or no. Forget it. I just can't do that very often. I mean, the question was way too complex. And some of what they were asking was, I think, pretty biblical. And some of what they were asking didn't seem very biblical. And in one respect, it's all biblical, but it depends on what lens you look at it through and what covenant you're functioning under. So too complex to just say, well, ooh, yes or ooh, no. So I've learned to just stop, take my time, listen carefully, hear if I hear the Holy Spirit directly telling me anything, and then go back into my sort of mental archives and see what's there. Because I've done a lot of reading, I've done a lot of living, I've done a lot of preaching, I've done a lot of counseling. I try to do a lot of listening. And maybe there's something there you can help someone with. Some of that is just part of what you do as a believer. Others is what you learn to do as a speaker and as someone who's conducting a meeting. But giving a defense to everyone. Listen to 15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, or as we said yesterday, set apart Christ as Lord in your heart. Always ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. Peter's not saying always ready to give answers to everybody's questions, but he is saying always ready to defend yourself for the hope that you have. And this is because you live in a world where, verse 13, people are going to harm you. Verse 14, you're going to suffer for righteousness' sake. People are going to give you threats. The world's a place full of trouble. And as we referenced the last few days, Peter's referencing Isaiah 8, the world's full of conspiracy theories. But if you will determine that Christ is Lord in your heart, then you'll be ready to give a defense to everyone who wants to know, how can you be so hopeful? And I've had to do that. I have people say to me, how can you be so optimistic? Can't you see the world's going to hell in a handbasket? And I say, well, first of all, stop believing the conspiracy theories. And believe it or not, I'm in the Bible with that, Isaiah 8. Secondly, I've determined Christ is Lord. And if Christ is Lord, then I have a reason to be hopeful. Because if Christ is Lord, then the king is on his throne in a kingdom. And if the king is on his throne in a kingdom, then there's something that can change for the good. And that is important, and that is powerful. Give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. And meekness, as you've heard me say before, one of the definitions of meekness is the ability to keep your sword sheathed. That is having biting, sharp answers to people and not giving them. And man, that is hard to do in a culture, in a society where everybody wants to be right. And everyone wants to be heard. And everyone thinks it's their right to be heard. Let me bust a bubble. You have the freedom of speech. You do not have the right to be heard. Okay? Being heard is oftentimes a right you earn. It's not an inherent right. Being taken seriously is definitely a right you earn. It's not an inherent right. If you keep opening your mouth about foolishness and you keep lining yourself with ignorance, no one has an obligation to listen to you, and why would they? And they certainly don't have an obligation to respect you. Those are things that are earned, not inherent, not given. Keep the sword sheathed. You can spout off at the mouth about everything anytime you want to, or you can learn where it's effective to open your mouth and when it might be effective to keep it closed. And fear is not ungodly. Anytime you see the word fear in the New Testament, filter it through the idea that John told you perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment. So wherever there's the thought of fear in the New Testament, it can't be, I'm afraid God's going to punish me, because that's not God's love. It must be, I'm afraid I'll miss this. That's the fear Hebrews told you to have. Be afraid you don't rest. Or it's the fear Paul had. I'm afraid you're going to fall into the temptation away from the simplicity of Christ. There's a godly fear. That's the fear I won't do this, or the fear I'll miss this, not the fear I'll be punished. And that's how we ought to be walking about in the world, in godly fear. In verse 16, having a good conscience. And as I was preparing, I thought, man, this really would need its own podcast, because there's some good work we can do from Hebrews. Because there's the idea of what a good conscience and an evil conscience looks like. And that's the Bible's great contrast, by the way, is good and evil, not right and wrong. And we will sort of start that discovery process of what the good conscience of 1 Peter 3:16 looks like, and we'll use, just as a little homework, Hebrews 13. That'll help us. See you tomorrow. God bless.